All right, welcome members, Adam plugging in here for the Graz Files podcast. Had a bit of a chat with Jason Woodforth today, Wednesday the 13th of July 2022, and that will be on after my little introduction here. Thought I would just jump on tonight and talk about The Matrix a little bit, because I did bring it up just quickly in the show, and it is an interesting film. It really is. Hope you guys are doing fine. Everything's up on the website, grazfiles.com. Thanks for your support. Hi to some new members. Great to have you plugging in and supporting real independent media here on the ground here in Sydney, Australia. As I said, Jason was on with me today for a chat. We've all got our hands full. And just trying to keep the conversation rolling as we move forward here. Anyway, last night I was just kind of chilling out, and the Matrix movie, the original Matrix movie, was on. And I've seen it so many times. And always when it's on, I can't help but watch it. It's such a brilliant film. It's such a brilliant film. And every time I see it, I get more from it. I get more ideas and things from this film. I know a lot of people have been breaking this movie down for years. and years, you know, decoding The Matrix. And, you know, looking at the actual film, the directors, the Wachowski brothers, you know, I really struggled to believe that they actually did make this film. All the ideas were theirs, you know what I mean? Because they've kind of not done anything really that good ever since. And the other two films were crappy, really, compared to the first one. They didn't really need to do any more. The first one was enough. It was interesting that it was made in Sydney too. I'd love to have a look at the dates and some of the numbers and all of that kind of stuff around it. And these Wachowski brothers became transgender, didn't they? And became women or something like that. So, and then they tried to change what the movie was about. It's just weird to me. It's kind of like Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that these people made this movie. I don't believe that they had the knowledge and the ideas to put something like that out there, considering that they haven't been able to do that again with any other films. They haven't gone from strength to strength. They really, that was it. And there's just too many, there's too much in this film. There's too much deep research and ideas going on and stuff happening in this film to make me think that they really, you know, absolutely made it. You remember that movie with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, Good Will Hunting? It was one of Robin Williams' greatest roles, I think. And this movie was made ages ago. And, you know, like, apparently these two guys kind of wrote it and then they became big Hollywood stars. I just don't buy that either. I saw a picture of Affleck and Damon watching the premiere of that film with Bill Clinton in the White House, you know what I mean? And, you know, the actual idea behind that film and, you know, how it was done and everything, I struggle to believe that they actually made that. So this goes on right throughout with a lot of these films, you know, as I said. This whole Matrix film sort of is just so complex, and every time I sit down and watch it, I kind of get new ideas and everything like that. And so really, really interesting film, and I was watching it again last night. And, you know, the other night when I was talking on the podcast about what Max Egan was saying and the simulation and the reset and all of this, You know, Jason talks a lot about on the podcast about the flat earth theory, and I tend to not go into it too much because I think it's just another distraction. Some people think that the earth is round and there's space out there and planets, and some people think it's flat and all of this. And then there's the simulation theory, which I kind of tie into more, that we're in some kind of construct, some artificial simulation, if you will. But, you know, all of those three models are distractions anyway. We're, you know, and it doesn't really matter what the Earth looks like, does it? I mean, we're here. And none of us really know where we really are and what's going on in the sky above us and what's really out there. You know, all this space and moon landings, everything's a hoax. It's not real, none of it. You know, I don't believe in those planets are out there. I don't believe there's organic space out there. I think it's all... I don't know what I'm looking at when I look up at the night sky anymore. I feel like we're in some kind of simulation. And I don't believe in UFOs coming in spaceships. I believe it's interdimensional all around us. And, but you know, all these theories and discussions are very interesting. But if you have a look, you know, at the basic concept of the Matrix movie, you've got this guy, Neo, who's living his life. He thinks that that is real, but he's living inside a computer simulation. And he works for a computer software company, and he's a hacker. And these agents are watching him because they want to use his skills to bring down this Morpheus guy, who they say is a known terrorist. Basic bullet points, you know. People will be like, I know, Adam, I've seen the movie, you know, this is all basic stuff. But it's just worth kind of discussing, you know. It's such an interesting film. And then, you know, he's asleep at his desk, and the computer tells him to wake up. It says, wake up, Neo. And that could be, you know, not just wake up because he's asleep, but it's telling him to wake up. And then it says, knock, knock, and these people knock on the door, and he gives them a disc, and it says, follow the white rabbit on the computer screen, and the girl has a white rabbit on her arm, and he goes to the nightclub, and Trinity's there, and tells him all this stuff, you know, and then he ends up meeting them and going to that house, and then we know the whole thing, talking about what the Matrix is and everything, and he takes the red pill. It's part of this trace program, so they can identify his location, and when he starts kind of starting to hallucinate, they find out exactly where he is, and then he wakes up in this cocoon, in this egg, in this liquid, and he pulls all these plugs out, and he looks around, and there's just millions of these other bodies growing in these eggs, in these clear cocoons, you know, and the machine comes up and grabs him and takes him out and discards him because he's woken up, and he ends up back on the ship. You know, and he's never used his body parts, he's never used anything, he can't walk. So he wakes up and goes back to reality, which is in the ship, but it's not in space, it's underneath the ground in the old tunnels and subway tunnels and all this kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of things in the movie that is Hollywood and you know, part of the action sequences and entertainment. But I looked last night watching the movie at the ideas behind even that, which were really interesting, you know, in this film. But the whole film, you know, it implies that humanity is asleep, that we are being mind controlled, and we're being used as an energy source, and we're being fed on, and we're being kept asleep in this state of ignorance, so we don't wake up to see the truth. And that's what Morpheus explains to Neo when he takes him into the program. He says that the Matrix is this artificial simulation world, a computer world. It's a dream world. That's been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. And the truth is, you're a slave born into this prison for the mind. You know? And it's really interesting, the wording and the, you know, the context and dialogue and everything, and how they go through it. Basically, again, that humanity is asleep or are asleep, and they've had this, they live in this illusion that they think is real. And it's blinding them from the who they really are. So the whole theme of the movie is that we need to wake up. Which is really interesting, you know. Oh, there's thousands of things. There's so many things I was picking up on last night just watching the movie as well, you know. It's such an interesting film. I think it's the greatest science fiction type movie ever made. I do, you know. I think it's and it's not just the movie itself and the and everything, but it's the ideas and what they say and how it is. It's just some amazing things in this film, I think, that's telling us. Yeah. And you know, the other films weren't the same. But anyway, skipping back and forth and just covering things that quickly come to me, just bullet points mixed up. You know, the Agent Smith, he says in the movie that, well, you know, the Morpheus character, he says to Neo that at some point, you know, we gave birth to AI, artificial intelligence, and it basically started thinking for us, and then it took over. And then what it decided to do at one point was to grow humans, to grow them, and because human beings pump out a whole lot of energy and body heat, and that these AI intelligence realized they could use that to fuel them, to power their system, and it would be all the energy that they would ever need. And so they grow humans, and that's when he wakes up in this cocoon and he sees his millions of humans just being grown from birth throughout their lives. And they're asleep in these cocoons and the technology is keeping them alive. And they've got these connections in the back of their necks which connect them into the mainframe of the computer simulation. So they're asleep in this cocoon, but they're projecting this dreamlike state where they think they're living this life and the city and they're working and living and all the things and going to the movies and all the stuff and everything that you do. And they think that that's their reality, but that's actually just a projection, like a digital projection of from the self. But the self is actually asleep in a cocoon, and it's being used for energy right throughout its life. And then I guess they're reborn back into it. Now, you have a look at this kind of thing where he wakes up in this cocoon and there's millions of cocoons around, all these human beings are being grown and they're being used as energy. You look at that and it's obviously part of the Hollywood sort of propaganda part of it, you know. It's just a part of the movie that's entertaining and people are shocked and everything. But if you look at the concept of that, that humans may be in this state of affairs where we are being, recycled life after life, that we are actually being tricked by the light on the other side of the death experience, and we're being tricked into reincarnating and coming back and living the same life again. And in this Matrix movie, they do mention the deja vu as well. They do talk about how we could be living the same life over and over and over again. I talked with Anthony Peake about this. Because how else can you explain deja vu when you're seeing the same thing over and over, you know? So it's like there's that concept, and that's in his books. That's that concept that we are coming back over and over and over again until we learn something or we know something, so then we can move on. There's that idea. But, you know, looking at the film, yeah, it's you've got that movie part of it, which obviously isn't real, but the idea behind that is that we're being harvested in this way, that human beings are being reincarnated lifetime after lifetime, and we're being used for food or fuel in some way, shape, or form. And so you sort of, you know, there's you can look at it like that, you know what I mean? Which is what we always talk about on the podcast. We are being used, and it's all about fear. Something is keeping us in a fear state and is feeding on us lifetime after lifetime. That's what it sure seems like to me. And in the movie, we're being used to charge the AI system that's now in control. And they talk about the Neo that was born inside this Matrix system that could change things and do as he saw fit. And he was the one who started waking up people. So it's an interesting concept. He's waking them up. But in the movie, when they wake up, they're in these cocoons. But if you look at it, it's all about people waking up because we're under a spell. So that's the basic concepts of the movie. And there's so many more. There's so many more in this film. Just things that are said and ideas. I was taking some notes. I might watch it again, actually, just to take some more notes. Because unbelievable that it was made back in the 90s, end of the 90s, right? It's really incredible. And they made it here in Sydney, and that kind of technology that was never been put into movies before, they had it ready to go. Obviously, you know, the movie was, there's a lot of research and you know, all from Gnostic texts and everything in that film, like all sorts of different belief systems and things all tied into that film. As I said, I just struggle to think that those guys actually were the ones who wrote it. They may have been the directors, but I really struggle to think that they wrote that film, you know? I feel like there's other powers at play here to put something out there like that. So we're made to believe sort of in the film that it's AI technology that is running things now. And we gave birth to it and it started taking over, and then it got more powerful than us and started thinking for us. And then it started growing us. So to use us as fuel, and then every single human that's been grown, they're having this life experience inside the Matrix simulation, which they think is real, but it's not actually real. And that's what Morpheus says to Neo in the film when he's taken the red pill and he starts tripping out and he touches the mirror and it's all like liquefied. He says, "What if you had a dream that was so real but you couldn't wake up from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?" And if you look at what that is saying, it's really incredible. It makes up a lot of that film. And so people are living in the simulation and they think that that is the real world. But what if it's a dream of some type and it's not the real world, but you're just continuously dreaming? How would you ever be able to make your way back to the real world, which is waking up in this movie out of that cocoon and pulling the plugs out, and actually where he goes back onto the craft? That's the real world with real humans. Now you're real again because you've been asleep. So they have to retrain him and they have to do all this stuff to get his muscles going again. And he has to be retrained to live, basically. Because he's been asleep, but in his mind, he's been dreaming this reality. And this is what we do when we go to sleep every night. We go to sleep and we have all these dreams where we do all these things. It's kind of like where... And you never see yourself in your dream, do you? You never see yourself in the dream. You don't even see... Have you ever seen yourself in a dream or seen yourself in a mirror in a dream? Let me know. Because I haven't. You're aware that you're you, right, in the dream. You know you're you, and you're floating almost around in these dreams, and there's all sorts of millions of dreams we have, where it's like even people that we know are in these dreams, but everything's always just charged slightly different. But you never see yourself in the dream. You're always like this floating consciousness. But, you know, I mean, if you had a really, really intense, very realistic dream and you couldn't wake up for it, how the hell would you be ever able to make it back to where we are now or where we think we are now? And where are we? Because maybe dreaming is more real than this. And the guy, Cypher, the double crosses him. He says that in the movie. He says, "I think that the Matrix can be just as real as this, where they are." You know what I mean? So is it all about the mind? It's really interesting, that whole thing anyway. But it's almost, it tells me that, In the film, it is that the AI is running things. But if you look at our so-called reality around us now, AI is watching everything. It's tracking everything. They're using an AI track and trace type system is being installed all over the planet on the back of the fake COVID-19 outbreak to monitor and track and trace and just, you know, and look at every single thing that we do. Because the AI type of beast grid system that we always talk about is being installed to control our lives. But what's behind that? So I think in this movie, it kind of alludes to that there's something there. And I think in the movie, they're using that it's AI technology. It's an AI system that's grown powerful and it's controlling. And you have a look at these bots in there as well. These creatures or these machines, they're very like, I mean, if you look at those machines in the Matrix and the ones that pull him out of the tank when he wakes up, and you look at these structures, kind of like the War of the Worlds thing that we were talking about on one of the shows, if you miniaturize these things, this could be exactly what we're seeing in these COVID jabs. This kind of micro nano technology machines that are swimming around in people's bodies. If you look in the Matrix film at what they've created and you shrink that down, it could be very well that these things that are being injected into people, for example, or just being sprayed everywhere. Interesting, you know. And then when they load the training programs, you got to remember too that they're back in reality, so they're real humans again, but they can insert themselves into the Matrix in the same way that he was in the tank. So they lie in the chairs and they get this plug, this cable plugged into the back of their head, and the guy inserts them into the Matrix system where they can change things and do things. And then they have to connect with that phone to get woken up back there, and they pull it out. which is really interesting too, isn't it? it's like there's a lot in that as well. They're living, they're awake and they're living in the real world, and they're saying that they're living in this craft because the actual world has been torched and destroyed and there's not really anything left. But they can insert themselves into this artificial construct, this Matrix system, and go back in there to do things, which shows you what we do with technology today. Or we're living our lives and then we're reliving or our lives, or we're living our lives within our devices as well. We're going into the devices and into the phones and into the TVs and into the technology, and we're living in there. This is the Mark Zuckerberg's Meta idea, how they're constructing this, you know, that we're, you know. And I see people everywhere, and I talked about it so much, they're living through their phones, you know. They're living kind of almost like that artificial life through the technology. But at the same time, they're going blind, you know. And the technology is showing these screens. You have a look at these new iPhone screens and phone screens and TV screens when you go into the electronics stores, and just... It's unbelievable, but that is an artificial construct. It's not real. It's not how nature looks. But people are inserting themselves into the Matrix, if you will, through their devices, and that could be what that means, in a way, you know. But there's a lot of other things as well. But they load training programs to train him. And one is the Kung Fu one, which is really awesome. But there's stuff said in there that was really interesting as well. He says, don't think you are, know you are, all of this. He's trying to get Neo to remember who he really is. That's the whole construct of the film in that way too. And when finally near the end he discovers his true powers and understands who he really is, he can break down this matrix system around him. But, you know, through the film, he doesn't have that full confidence yet. And there's a scene where they load on top of a tall building, and then Morpheus says, "You've got to let it all go, the doubt, the fear, all this anxiety, all this like a layers of an onion, isn't it? All this fear that we build up in our lives through all the content and everything around us and what's being done to us as we get fed on. You got to let all that go to basically be who you really are." And he jumps over the building, but Neo runs and he falls down because he doesn't believe. And he still has that fear, so he goes down. Then when they're walking in a city, it's a simulation of the Matrix. So they've actually made a setup of it, and they're walking through the city against the people, and Morpheus is telling him that all these people are still plugged into the Matrix, and until we could try and wake them up, it makes them our enemy because they're part of the system. And there's a lot of things there as well, and we talk about this a lot as well. You know, it's like all these millions of people around us, they're just plugged in, they're like cult members, they won't listen to us. They're just brainwashed by the mainstream media and by the system itself, and they're getting these jabs, and you try to tell them and they want to punch you in the nose. And that's what he says in the film. You know, until we can wake these people up, they are the enemy because they're just part of this system and they don't know it. You know, and as he's telling them that and he's walking through, a beautiful woman walks past in a red dress, and he looks and he said, "Are you listening to me, or are you looking at the woman in the red dress?" And then when he turns around, there's one of the agents with a gun at his head. And that kind of shows distraction, that he's in the inner simulation of the Matrix, and he's walking through, the guy's talking to him, and but he's distracted by sexual feelings, and then that puts his life in danger as well. In that way, you know, there's a lot of other little things there, but niggly things, but really, really interesting, really interesting. You know, there's also a scene where they have there's the scene where they get caught, and he sees the black cat, and he has deja vu, and she says that happens when they change something. And then when they catch Morpheus, the agent's saying, alluding to that they've tried a few different times and they just couldn't get it right. But this one is the best version yet. You know what I mean? He's saying that in the film, that this one is working the best. And, you know, that's what we were talking about the other night. And I was looking at the Max Egan video, the Great Reset. Is this what it could mean, that they're resetting again? Don't know, it's crazy. It's like we get reset, we start from zero again, and then you build up and you build up and you build up, and we don't learn, and then we try to use technology to oust ourselves or erase who we are, and we try to be better through technology, and we didn't learn again, and we go back again. And there's people talking about this, that we're going to be thrust back into the Dark Ages, or back with where we started again. And whether we're all here or not, it could very well happen. There's proof of this through old civilizations, and right through, if you study and look at it, right through. You know, we're just kind of building on top. There's very strong evidence, extremely strong evidence, not just that most of history is a lie, and that we're being kept asleep, but that it's happening over and over and over again because we're not understanding or getting something. And that's what I get from the Matrix film, that we're not learning, and it's resetting as well. It's really, really interesting that we are not understanding our true potential and power. And so the one in the movie, which is Neo, he is the one that actually represents everybody, the human being, our spirits, that we have to wake up to see what we're actually capable of. And we have been put into a coma, basically. We have been put into a coma, and lifetime after lifetime, we come back and we go out and we come back, and we're being used as food for something that's feeding on us. and controls the afterlife experience through false white lights and trickery and all this stuff, and we get pushed back in. Now, the guy that betrays them, Cypher, he says in the film that he's sick of living in that real world. He doesn't want to do it anymore. It's just they have to eat this slimy food and it's just dark and all of this stuff. He would rather live in the Matrix. And he says when he eats the steak, he knows that this isn't real. It's just all these charges and electrical signals from his brain that's telling him that that tastes nice. And then he says, ignorance is bliss. You know, and that's a famous quote or saying as well in the movie, you know, that you know he knows he's doing something that is not real, but it's great anyway because ignorance is bliss. And he says to the agent, because in exchange for giving them the Morpheus character, he wants to be reinserted back into the Matrix, and he wants to be famous and have this famous life and have lots of money and all of this, you know what I mean? That could imply the afterlife experience as well, that you're dying, you're going to an afterlife experience and doing a deal, and you're coming back to be this character or that character, and you're coming back to fulfill different roles. That's what I kind of got from that, you know? And you're just coming back over and over and over again instead of being who you're meant to be and really free, you know? And it really, really, really seems like that to me. People are just being born in and out of lifetimes and they're just living out. And the... in that scene where the agent has Morpheus there, he's telling him that it's just incredible. Billions of people just continuously living out their lives, completely oblivious. You know? Just being cast out of the mother and then just walking through lifetime after lifetime like zombies, just completely unaware. Then once you start to become aware of what's really going on, the system wants to cast you out, and that's what happens. He takes the red pill back at the start, and they track him, and he wakes up and he pulls all these cables off and out of his throat and everything, and he wakes up, and then the machine comes and stares right in, accesses all the information, picks him up by the throat and dumps him in this pool where they pull him out. The machine, the system, has taken this person who's woken up in this womb, in this artificial womb where he's being used basically as electricity or a battery, and he's woken up and he's consciously aware of who he really is now, he's woken up from that coma, and the machine has discarded that person out. And this is the same as our society, isn't it? Once you start thinking for yourself and you start really understanding what's going on around you and how everything's working, the system doesn't want you anymore, and it turns you into this bad person or some kind of terrorist threat. Because you're thinking outside of the hive mind. And I found that in The Matrix as well. You know, the concepts and the ideas that come out from just even normal scenes, or, you know, where you might watch it a few times and not really think so much about it, but I'm sort of got me thinking last night watching it, you know. And then, as I said at the end, at the end, he realizes who he really is and his true potential, you know, and nothing can stop him. And there's so many more things. There's so many little things said. Also, the bug that he was given when they take him into the interrogation room, and they seal his mouth up so he can't talk, and they put this insect kind of, creature, and it goes down inside his belly button, and it lives in his stomach, and then when they pick him up, they have this device to suck it out, and he says, that thing's real, and they throw it out on the road in the rain, and it unplugs, you know. This is like nanotechnology, you know, creatures, nanotechnology that is crawling around inside of people's bodies. And I think that concept is in the film as well, you know, that we're all bugged, you know, and that it, you know, tracked or traced, bugged in that way. But, you know, that's another one that could mean that we've got these critters in us, you know, as well, you know. Boy, so many more. There's probably another 1,000 things to think of from this movie, what it's actually really saying. Of course, he goes to the Oracle, the woman, and when he's in there, she tells him not to worry about the vase, you know, the flower pot. He goes, what? And he breaks it, smashes it on the ground, and she says to him, would you have still broken that if I didn't say anything? And she doesn't tell him that he's not the one. He thinks that, but she basically says, you're just not ready yet. Perhaps you're waiting for another life or something. I don't know. That's up to you. So, you know, in that part of the film, he's not ready yet. He's still in no man's land or on the fence, you know. And that's an interesting one as well. Anyway, lots of interesting things in that film, you know. And it's a great film to watch as well. It's an interesting film, and it's some incredible stuff in it. But if you haven't seen it for a while, rewatch it and take some notes. And you know, it's a funny one. It just, the whole idea of the film basically is that we're born into a type of simulation where this has been constructed as a prison for our minds. And we are basically asleep our entire lives, but we think that we're awake, but it's just a projection. It's not actually us. We're just like dreaming almost. Our real selves are lying in limbo somewhere. Maybe our souls are there, but we've left it behind and we don't realize. So our souls are lying, are there in the distance, if you will, and we have this projection out, like turning on a torch, and the light is going out, and we're living this dream world, and we're going further and further away from where we're meant to be and who we really are, and we're forgetting. And we're living this artificial, because you look at the world around us, it's so artificial, it's such an illusion. It's so fake in so many ways. You know, it's on tonight. It's on tonight, the State of Origin, the football, and they're all there, and it's just such an illusion. It's such an illusion. And people get lost in it, and they go further and further and further into the darkness, you know. And so you've got this true self that's lying in wait, you know, this true self that's lying in wait, asleep, for throughout time, eternity possibly, just lying in this liquefied liquid in limbo, just floating in space. And there's this dream state happening where we're just living these life after life after life, and we're chasing all these things down, and we're doing these things just like we do at night. We lie down in our beds and we project these dreams out, and we run off and chase them. But our original selves, our true bodies, are lying in that bed back there, and it's like the NDEs, the near-death experience. You know, you hear this, that people die on the operating table, for example, and they come out of their bodies, and they're looking down at themselves. This is this whole concept here, you know. That we're leaving our bodies, or we're away from our bodies, but we're away from who we really are. We're way, 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 way out in the sea, and our true selves are lying somewhere, waiting, way back, and we've left that, and we need to get back to it, and that's what the film says. you have to wake up. And that's what it is. Wake up, Neo. Wake up. Wake up. You're asleep. And you have to wake up and remember who you are. And when you wake up and you actually reconnect with who you are, the system grabs you and it expels you out. And that's just like all of us not taking the vaccines and all sorts of stuff. We're awake to the system. We're becoming consciously aware of all of this. And we're starting to see the matrix for what it is. And it breaks down in front of you because you can, because you can understand it. And that means you are outsmarting it and outwitting it. And it understands that it can't control you anymore. So it lashes out and tries to cast you away. But that's the whole sort of idea from that film, you know, that we have to wake up to understand who we really are. And that this is not it. It's an artificial computer-generated dream world. And that makes me kind of think about the simulation theory. That we are living in some kind of simulation, some kind of game. And there's something that we have to... The only way out of the game is to wake up. That's the only way out. Otherwise, we're just going to keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating over and over. And it implies to me as well, we're being used as energy or fuel. I mean, you have a look. As soon as you're born, your parents sign the birth certificate, which basically contracts you to the governments to as a source of food. Within the corporation, within the company, we're born into a factory, like just like chickens laying their eggs, you know, everybody, you know, and you have children and they're in the factory of life and their birth certificate and they've signed into this this straw man situation where a proxy where a straw man, another you, has been created by the system, which is an artificial self as well, you know. So, like, you walk in, you go along and you live your life and you go through your young years and your school and you travel and you get a job and married and you have kids and you grow old and you die. And you are you, but you're actually, you have this proxy self, like a straw man that was created when you were born. You know what I mean? And that's that proxy self, that straw man, is the one that's living in the illusion. And that is almost like an ego. You know, when people say they're ego driven or you're too egocentric, it's the ego that gets targeted by the system. And so the ego, you know, and this proxy self, this straw man, this is the one that the police will fine you. And this is the one that pays the taxes. This is the one that lives in fear and ignorance as you, your true self, kind of stumble along behind. But in a way, you're in limbo because you're asleep. And when you yourself, you realize what this proxy straw man is and you start to take back control, then you can make that disappear and you become your real self again. And the system doesn't like it because you've just kind of woken up. And that's what's in the film. He wakes up to become your true self again. This is the fascinating part to me, but it's so bloody complicated and so hard. You know, I guess so many of us work and we're paying our taxes right now and we pay our rent or we're paying mortgages or we're paying for electricity that should be free. You know, we're paying for all these things. We're paying money that gets generated from nothing to live in this fake illusion when everything, we shouldn't have money. We're so far away from where we need to be. It's unbelievable. But it's all there. It's like a key inside of you. And when, you know, you can start to see it, but it gives me a headache to work out all the ways we need to get out of this system that they've locked us in. It's a matrix system. We are locked in from birth. We're locked in. It's absolutely incredible, you know, and we live out our entire life where we think we are this person and we're having this life experience, but the real self is asleep. And then we die and we have this experience in this afterlife experience, which shows we have a consciousness. It shows you how special we really are. They can't take away our consciousness, our souls. They can interfere with it, but they can't take it away. And they know that we have one. But these creatures, whatever the hell we're dealing with, it's interdimensional. It's a parasitic entities. I don't know how many. Maybe just a few, a handful, I don't know. But there's a power structure there behind the mirror of time. It's so cunning and dark and manipulative. It's just tricking us into coming back again and again and again and again. And we never realize our true potential. Because once you do that, it's game over. So we're being fed on. We're being lied to. We're being cheated. We're being blinded from the truth. And we're being used as fuel to fuel this system. And these are the elitists, as they call themselves, on the top of the pyramid, who are using all of humanity to basically fuel this machine. And that's what The Matrix is, the movie. It's using forms of entertainment and action sequences and things like that. But if you look behind what they're saying, it's all there. And that's probably from their Gnostic, from the Gnostic texts as well that were studied to bring into that film. But boy, this has gone on for a very, very long time. You know, we're being used, we're being fed on, and we're living out our lives completely oblivious to what's really going on in a fantasy world that we think is real. But our true selves are just lying there in a coma, waiting for us to wake up and reestablish the true light. And that's what I got from that film. You know, I think it's all in there. I think it's all in there. Interesting to you know, cover anyway. Absolutely. I just wanted to cover it tonight because, and there's a lot more. I know people will be like, what about this, Adam? What about that? And there's a thousand things more I know I've forgotten. I get it. I know there's a million things in this film to talk about and a lot of ideas and things like that. It's decoding the Matrix film. You know, on its surface, it's a film and it's a great film and it's kind of simple, but there's so much in there that is said and done and, you know, and is put out that, you know, he gets you thinking, you know, geez, you know, really brilliant. We're asleep. And I mentioned today when I was chatting with Jason, that's coming up next. So hope you guys can continue listening. But I mentioned it and it just made me think I'll jump on tonight and just cover a little bit of it and my thoughts on that film. And I would say if you haven't seen it for a while, watch it again in headphones and really, really have a moment where you can watch the film and not be distracted and see if you can pick up on those things I'm talking about and anything else. Because, you know, this is what the system does, you know. It has to show you what it's doing, and I think that's a very strong point. Anyway, take care, and Jason and I are just going to have a chat now, so enjoy, and keep plugging into the website, and crazy times, man.
We're plugged in for another podcast with Jason Woodforth, Crass Files Podcast. What's going on, buddy? I know you're probably set to explode. I've been sending a few articles today.
Actually, I will go through those as we do the talk, mate. But seriously, you can't make some of this shit up. I mean, we've said this how many times?
Incredible times. It's unbelievable, isn't it? What can you say?
Yeah, like
we're still here. That's for sure. They're really pushing for lockdowns and masks to return here in Australia. All the bedwetters, they're calling them, like Ray Hadley. Yeah, he's wetting his panties on radio, and they're throwing fits and crying like babies and spitting their dummies because they want us all in masks and lockdown again. So you're a very strange mob, but you know. Yes, it is winter, folks. It's pretty cold here in Sydney, but I'm fine. The only people that I know who are sick have been double and triple jabbed.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And I mean really sick. Some folks are really sick.
Yep.
And I'm like, gee, I've never been that sick. Like, you felt like you were going to die, you know? I'm usually just go to bed. I'm okay, you know? So, not good.
Well, Adam, in good news, whilst some more are waking up, there's still a heck of a lot more mask wearers out and about over the last few weeks. It's actually increased. Mainly it's the old ones. So, certainly the oldies are scared. They just can't see the fucking obvious. I was in the sauna with a couple of people today, and keep in mind that COVID doesn't exist after 56 degrees, so why isn't everyone having a sauna? That sauna sits at 80, 82 degrees, and everyone, there should be a sauna on every corner.
Well, it doesn't exist anyway.
Exactly. And but to your point about that I always say on the every podcast is people, we're still here and this is not going away. And here in Queensland, further to that statement I've just made is that we've now got a third wave that they're scaring us with, with something that doesn't exist. And the peak's not going to hit for another couple of weeks yet. So I can tell you right now, people, I'll be saying this is still here and this is not going away in a couple of weeks. And for the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, this is just amazing. So what we've got now, the flip-flopping and the messaging that makes no sense is what keeps the cult members in the cult, because it makes it all too hard for them. And they just go, okay, just whatever, just tell me what I'm going to do, right? So cop this. This is what Yvette Darth Vader said.
She's still there.
Oh, my God. Now, maybe she's got a speech impediment. I shouldn't take fun of it, but that's how she speaks.
This one needs to be hung.
Oh, they all need. Oh.
She threatened people. She said to Queenslanders, we're going to come to your place with eskies full of needles. And then she went around denying that she doesn't know anything about why there's a 40% increase in heart-related problems. And see, the fact that these people are still in power, like Brad Hazard and stuff, it just shows you how far we got to go. I mean, we the people have to physically remove them, or we're not going anywhere. That, and that's what I was saying to a person on social media, and they agreed with me. They were a bit upset. I said, look, Andrews is getting in this year. You can't stop it. No. He's going in, and he's got hell for you people down there. And they said, I just want to get out of here. Everybody's just Labour voting morons and zombies down there. And I said, they support him. You got to get out because, you know, look at the lockdowns. Where were the 5-6 million people in Melbourne to support you guys who are out there getting bashed by police? Nowhere to be found. And they support him. So I said, the best thing now is to get out because we're not ready yet. And he's coming back, full swing. He's coming back. He's going to give you a few peanuts. He's coming back. And, you know, they agreed with me. I said, sorry, man. The only way to stop it is the people remove him or, you know, go on the next level, what the Dutch farmers are doing. You know, taking it to another level now because they're not going anywhere.
Adam, you know, you mentioned the Dutch farmers, and actually I'm going to go back to your Hazard comment, is that the Dutch farmers got to a point. The Canadians, I was in the sauna this morning with a Canadian. He's over here just for a month. So I cranked him up about what's going on over there, and yep, exactly what we saw happening with the truckers was a real thing. Everything that we got through the truth channels was actually happening. First-hand information from a Canadian just 3 hours ago. Oh, Adam, I look at my time on my clock. It's 3:22.
There you go.
What's 3:22, people? Skull and Bones' number. Oh, my lordy. Let me get to the Guidestones because I do want a bit of an update on that.
But you were talking about Yvette Darth.
Oh, sorry. Okay, hang on. Okay. Going everywhere, people. Okay, let me go back to Yvette Darth Vader. How's this? We've got a new relaxation of a COVID rule. So it says people who were previously infected should get tested and isolate if they had symptoms from 4 weeks after their initial infection, reduced from 12 weeks. I've never heard anything about that. Like, I just don't get what they're throwing out there. It makes no sense. It would make sense if you got vaccinated and got symptoms from the vaccination, but it just makes no sense. And now they're saying people get reinfected and reinfected quicker with the BA4 or 5 strain, right? And now they're saying is, let me get to this point, even though more patients are turning up at hospitals much sicker than at any other time of the pandemic, and emergency doctor reports, okay, who is the emergency doctor? who is this emergency doctor? Which hospital? Because I've been to a local hospital here, the big hospital, local hospital here, twice to the ED for family members, and we waltzed in. We just walked in, got a bed within minutes. It's bullshit. Now, furthermore, the last line, hang on. There you go. The she'll be right Aussie attitude has shocked a frontline medic at Ipswich Hospital. Well, at least we've got the hospital, but who is this frontline medic? And I can guarantee you, I'm always prepared to go to fucking Ipswich and walk in that ED to show there's nothing motherfucking happening. And let me get the last point. The doctor said there were no triage tents outside the hospital to deal with the onslaught. Onslaught. Look at all this scary wording they're using. And we got a triage tent over at Redlands Hospital from memory, from what I was reading on the comments, I think it was. And they said it's never been used. That, and I commented back and saying it's only there for scare and fear. No one is in these triage tents. The number of things we've seen over the world where all these things were set up and no one went into them.
See, we're still there. They're going back to where they first started with the cruise liners and everything.
Yeah, the cruise liner's back.
On, today in news.com.au, doctor calls the COVID BA.5 worst variant we have ever seen.
Yeah.
Calling the new variant strain the worst variant ever.
But Adam, don't get me wrong, people, is that if all of a sudden we all start getting sick, don't blame it on the COVID that's not COVID. Blame it on something that I've either sprayed. And Adam, I don't know whether you've seen that article yet, or that that they're admitting in Queensland. Oh, Adam, I don't think I've sent it to you. Or did you send it to me? They're admitting here in Queensland that they've actually been spraying a vaccine in the air as a test. It's admitted that they've done it. So people, if we start getting sick, don't think, oh, shit, we've all got COVID. No, think, what toxin have they put into us to make us sick? Okay?
That's right.
As simple as that. As simple as that. So, again, do your saunas, your bentonite clay, your charcoal. Do anything just in case something like that can grab this toxin and just get it and piss the shit out of your body as quick as you motherfriggin' can.
That's right.
Yeah. Just on your Hazard comment, let me go back. Brad Hazard, which is the New South Wales health minister. He was the one that said, oh, like every health minister around the world, and some of the fattest things you've ever seen, and also transvestites, it's just amazing, the current health ministers around the world, he said that when Sydney went into a new lockdown, he said, this is Sydney's new world order. Now, why would you say it's Sydney's new world order? No, it's Sydney's directive, whatever you want to call it, but there's no need to say new world order. So just the other day, Nick Kyrgios, who was an Australian tennis player, they said, this is Nick Kyrgios's new world order of way he does things. But no. Why would you say it's his new world order? I mean, if I start tomorrow, and you know, I've traveled around the world, and say go pre-COVID, where I travel around the world literally every year. So all of a sudden, if I change something, you'd say, this is Jason's new world order? No, you just wouldn't. It makes no sense. You go down the road to your mate, or you go next door. Oh, mate, this is my new world order. Your next door neighbour would look at you like you had two heads. Say you're from Tasmania. What do you mean, your new world order, mate? Isn't the new way you're doing things? No, it's been new world order, mate. Yeah, mate, you better, like, have another beer, mate. You're making no fucking sense to me. So, anyway, it's all in there. It's all in the media, and you buy what you want to buy. Now, we got the Georgia Guidestones that got blasted on 7/6, which was George Bush's birthday, who turned 76, and it was blasted at 4:03 a.m., 403 compressors obviously dropped the 043. He was the 43rd president. The person who's attributed to actually putting them up, these alias's name was R.C. Christian, but I've just gone blank on his real name. His real name equals 187 in gematria, and 187 is the number of days that 7/6 falls on. It was 187th day of the year. And like everything is a kicker with this thing. Another kicker, two baseball teams. I'm going to go back and just check this out, but I'll throw this out there because I believe this is true. I've got my facts right, is that one team got to their 403rd win and the other team to their 43rd loss. I can't exactly remember. I'll get some more detail on that. So you still got the 43 and 43. Hang on, I've got a little grandson that's coming for a cuddle. And a kiss. Thank you, darling. Yeah. Now, the other one is from the Guidestone set up on March 22, remember 322, which is Skull and Bones. And for those that don't know, that Joe Biden, who is in Skull and Bones, got his vaccine at 322 in the afternoon, the split second it turned over to 322. Now, hang on, I digress here. I'm going to go back. So from 322 to the 7-6, not including 322 because that's the date we set up, so every day after is 3 months and 14 days. What's 314? 3.14 is pi. What is pi? Pi is the perfect circle. I mean, this just blows me away. Again, on the 7th of the 6th, July 6th, Bush turns 76. They blow it up at 403 when he's a 43rd president. And you've got the 187th day of the year when the guy who actually set this all up, his name equals 187. And again, you've got pi. This is unbelievable. Is this organic or is this pre-planned? Is it AI doing this? Is it the devil? I don't know. But that's too many coincidences. And the way it all just comes together blows my mind.
Mm. Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Blows my mind.
Yeah, it's just insane.
Unbelievable. Adam, I was listening to another podcast and he brought up the 314 thing. And I went, yeah, okay, roughly speaking, that's going to be about right, I thought. So I did some research on it and, yep, it's 3 months and 14 days. And pi is not 314. 314 actually goes, it's infinite, all the numbers that follow it. And but at the end of the day, it's 314. But pi is the perfect circle. So we're living in something that's perfection. What is this? What's happened with the Guidestones? And they bulldozed the Guidestones down that afternoon. So one, are they trying to hide what the truth is, just trying to get rid of all the evidence? But or the fact, and just the whole pi thing, is that we've got this done all so perfectly. They have. Seriously, they have. This is.
Well, it's a crime scene, really, isn't it? And then they come in and bulldoze through it. A very strange footage, getaway car, the whole thing is highly suspicious.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. A lot of people in the
truth movement are saying they're kind of trying to make it like those Guidestones going down is a win for us. And I don't understand how that's a win for us. In what way?
Yeah, and Adam, just on that point, this is not a win for us. This is like the Q movement. Where's Q gone? All of a sudden, Q's disappeared because that was a psyop, okay? And you hear and see nothing of Q now. These Guidestones coming down were done by them specifically on the right date to the right time, and it was actually 4:03 and 33 seconds. So the 33 seconds is the tribute to 33 levels of Freemasonry. So this is all by design, people. No truther brought those Guidestones down. Because why would a truther bring them down now and specifically on those times and dates? There was other gematria that they probably had done months ago, years ago, but why now? And truthers just don't blow shit up. They just don't do that. Look around the world right now. You know, as much as the Dutch farmers were spraying cow manure on the cops and whatnot, has a truther done any real damage? Not that I'm aware of. You know, the guy that did the 93 bombing of World Trade Center, whatever it was in New York, can't remember, Timothy McVeigh. You know, like that's not done by just a normal person. That's a CIA operation. Okay, so yeah, Martin Bryant doing what he did in 96, all them, they're CIA operations. So no truthers bring down the Guidestones. So truthers, get your head out of that space and watch what else happens when things come down. Oh, sorry, they set a fire to Picnic, which is the Bill and Melinda Gates funded shopping center. So again, they're doing it to themselves and they don't care. They're just making us feel like we're making a win, like Q was. That's all it is, people.
Yeah, all weird. It is. Oi, what was I going to say? Well, you're making a point. I forgot my point. You were talking about something there. Like, for example, with the Guidestones, I look, they're already saying it's an act of terrorism.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're saying that is an act of domestic terrorism, you know, and you're wondering, I already guessed when it happened that it's going to be blamed on conspiracy theorists to further try to crack down on what we're allowed to say and do. You know, they're desperate, so that's an aspect, but I can't sort of, yeah, just think, and then the Japanese former prime minister as well getting shot and killed. That's what I was saying the other night on a podcast, like, assassinations, really? You know, it's 2022, are they really going to, like, you know, I was just bringing up that movie, The Shooter, with Mark Wahlberg. I mean, really? Like, seriously, like, they're going to assassinate people now, like former presidents or whatever, in the middle of the day. It just seems so old school. I'm just, yeah, we're trying to piece together what their motives and plans are here. Say where we're looking at the at the Guidestones. Like, what does this mean to bring them down?
Yeah, you know, Adam, like, did we speak about Abe getting killed, the ex-president? Because people, if he was killed, it was fake. And I've seen some video of it, and it looked fake as F.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made no sense. It's a psyop. It's a distraction.
What's with the explosion? There was like something went off, like, before he supposedly got hit, like a smoky thing, you know? It's just so weird. I just can't see that happening. Assassinations, it's just so, you just don't see it anymore. And in Japan,
no.
It's weird. So I'm wondering what's going to happen to Japanese people in regards to all of this, you know, tightening restrictions there and everything, you know. I mean, always these things happen, you know, problem, reaction, solution, but just weird times, you know, the chain of events we've seen. And Adam, with the fires over there in Italy and just weird things going on. It's crazy.
And Adam, I've only looked at my clock since 3:22. It's now 3:36.
There you go.
Three sixes.
Oh, that was the I think we talked about that as well, the Melbourne shooting.
Yes.
There was a gunman on the run and it happened at 6 a.m. and he was 36 years old. And the police are appealing to the public because they don't have any information and they don't know anything. And it was like, this is just one of the stories. So we're being told that a gunman is on the loose in Melbourne somewhere. And yeah, and this happened at 6 a.m. and he's 36. And you just, and there's no, they don't know anything.
Oh, hey, Adam,
it's just crazy.
Here you go. News just in. Well, it's actually probably an hour or two old. So the Premier Anastasia, piece of fucking shit, fucking want to punch in the fucking head. Take this very seriously, she says.
Yeah.
12 COVID deaths, 7,000 new cases as Premier foreshadows new wave. She's foreshadowing a new wave? Is she a fucking miracle worker?
Yeah, they've got crystal balls.
Right. So, she had balls. I like to fucking kick them, seriously. More than 7,500 new COVID cases and 12 more deaths have been recorded overnight as the Premier urges some people to don masks and reveals planning is already underway. Get ready. Planning is already underway for another possible COVID wave despite the current wave not yet peaking. So they've got a possible COVID wave coming.
Did you say planning?
And they're planning for it. How do you know this shit?
Planning, is that what it says? Planning.
Yeah.
Reveals
planning is already underway.
Yeah, the planning for it. Yeah, they're telling you. Yeah, it's incredible.
Again, yeah. People, if you get sick, okay, unless you're very unhealthy and you're just detoxing because you started losing weight. When you lose weight, in the very first week when people lose weight, they're being very toxic in their environment for their food, drink, and everything they do. They'll get flu-like symptoms. I do a fascia release massage. It's more like torture. And we say to people, you may get flu-like symptoms. Even people who do deep tissue massages to you, they say, look, you may feel a bit unwell because they've released toxins, and they say it's flu-like, okay, because it's getting rid of toxins. So when you get a flu or a cold, you've got toxins where your body's gone, you know what, I've just got to get rid of the shit that you put in my body after all these months or years, and blah, that's what it is. I've lost my point, but seriously, just don't believe any of this shit. And also, my point was, so if all of a sudden a lot of us start going down, don't be searching for the COVID problem. Search for what they've done to you. COVID doesn't exist. Search for the toxin. I'll go back to my comment earlier. Get into the bentonite clay. Get in the charcoal. Get into the stuff that just draw distilled water. Get into the stuff that can draw out the toxins out of your body to try and make you well. But do these things daily. I'm sort of a bit of a shocker. I do saunas almost daily. But I've been doing bentonite clay once a day most days. But I need to do it more often, and I need to do the charcoal way more often. You can't do charcoal all the time. You can do it 30 days in a row if you needed to, but just watch the charcoal. You don't want to do that all the time. But work out your health regime because you need to try and keep what they're doing to you at bay so that you can get through all this bullshit.
That's right. Did you read the article from Tot News about New South Wales police receiving $5.5 billion in funding?
Adam, can we find out? I sent you a message
what
after.
What the hell?
When you sent that to me, my question back to you, because I read the article, and, I mean, there are a number of millions for this project, that project. My question is, what is the normal yearly spend on the police budget? Let me see if we can do it in real time while we're chatting, because is it gone from 1 billion to 5.5, or has that gone from 5 to 5.5? I mean, where's it gone from to this amount? This is just insane.
It says record funding announced, but it's outrageous.
Oh,
$5.5 billion. Billion.
Yeah.
For the New South Wales police, what the hell are they prepping for? What's going on here? They're going to buy spaceships? This is insane. 5.5.
I can pull up New South Wales police budget 2020. Let's have a look. Oh, well, hang on. It was $4.8 billion in 2020. Interesting. So let me ask. Okay. That's the Commonwealth, Matt Keane. No, 2.6 billion. No, that's not right. Because like I said, it's not a surprise if it's always up there. But Adam, even if it's always up there, and when there's only just a slight increase, it's still meaning this. Hang on. So if they're always $4.55 billion, and all of a sudden it's a new record going to 5.5. What the fuck are they doing every year that they're bringing in? But, Adam, we've only got to look in Victoria with all the AK-47s and whatnot they're bringing in and the way they've turned these the Victorian police force into, like literally, what, ninjas, like, I don't know, AIs, but with everything they've got weaponry-wise at their beck and call. We'll just see what else I can find.
Well, yeah, I mean... Crikey's.
G19. Okay. No, I really can't find. Oh, hang on. Okay. New South Wales government funding contributions to the police force 3.8 in 2019-20. So that's to go from 3.8 in 2019 to 20 and just three years later be at 5.5. That's massive.
Jeez.
It's
man.
Massive.
That's unbelievable. And then you know how hard just general people have to work just to keep their heads above water, you know? Why do you need this is insane. So and it's like, yeah, we can see where this is going.
And Adam, here you go. It said Victoria spent $3.65 billion on its police force in 2019-20. Mm. And they've got a bigger police force than Victoria and a smaller area. By like a quarter of the area. Certainly they're allowing for whatever they're bringing in to fuck with us, basically.
Yeah, and I have been covering the new TV show about to start this Sunday night, maybe, called Hunted. I've been covering that. No one else is. You know, Max Egan was the only guy I heard who did at least brought it up. So, you know, I put up an article on that. And that, in my book, that TV show is a way for them to show off their brand new, you know, track and trace AI beast system.
Yeah, but
it has been installed all around Melbourne, and I covered it in the article, and I've done some podcasts on it because I sat there doing the podcast last year talking about how people were putting up all this information online about the planes in the middle of the lockdowns, in the middle of the night coming from China. Just Adam, hundreds those planes.
Adam, that was 2 years ago. And let me go back, Adam.
But that was during the lockdowns, and people were saying they were full of Chinese tech being installed in Melbourne. Now he's got a TV show showing you what he's done.
Yep. And Adam, let's go back 2 years when I said on this program that my mate, who's a cop in that Brisbane Airport, but he's in special ops, and so he says to me, he goes, he actually rang me up and said, okay, all right, give it to me because this ain't making sense. I said, what's that, mate? He said, I've got flights coming in that I'm guarding at like 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. I said, that's the ones that I hear over my place at nighttime. He said, yep. And I said, how many Chinese? And they said, at least half the people on board are Chinese. All we're directed to do is leave them off the plane, onto buses, and we never see them again. Okay, that was 2 years ago. People, I don't know where all these people might be staying, whether at that Pine Gap or whether they've got accommodation that we're not aware of. But, you know, it's all been happening since day one of this plandemic, this scam. But, yeah, it's happening. If you don't – like, the problem is, Adam, the people aren't listening to us. They're listening because they know they're on our page. It's just we need to get this onto other people's pages that are just dumb. Well, not the dumbasses. Okay, if you've got – you're up against someone right now who's got a mask on where there's no mask mandate, leave them alone. It's not worth the effort. Approach the people that haven't got the mask on. Like I was in the sauna today, and when she said, oh, I had COVID, I said, you had a cold. She said, yes, I had a cold. I said, well, you've got to keep referring to it as a cold. Don't use COVID. She said, yeah, you're right. So get those people more on board and leave the deadbeats behind, because the sooner the COVID jabs that they've taken, whether it's been 2, 3, or 4, most of the ones that have got masks on have probably taken the 4 already, they need to die. Because the sooner they die, the more they'll wake up other people. So no sympathy there, because the enough information is out there, and if you've got like just 2-year-old intelligence, 2-year-old, no, grade 2 intelligence, surely you can work this shit out.
They're unbelievable.
I got no sympathy. I've got none. Right, because these people, no matter what you tell them, they just will not believe anything other than what's on the news. And the thing is, and I've said this before, even if the news came out and said, we're lying, we're joking, this is just all bullshit, and did that for a week, I'm talking a week solid, there's going to be a certain number of people that just go, oh, they're just doing this to piss us off. They're just doing this to, like, it's just shits and giggles. When's my next jab due? Oh, this afternoon. I got to go. Seriously, there would. No matter, you could probably run a month-long campaign and you'd still get people going, I can't believe they're trying to trick us. It's like they're wanting us to die. Damn it, I got to get my shot.
Yeah, that's the pictures I sent you, and someone took it from Twitter, Dr. Michael Baker. And it's real, and he put up a picture on his page. I don't know who this person is, of a positive COVID test. And he says here, it's finally happened, and I'm furious that I wasn't able to get that fourth booster, which would have prevented this. And so this was just being circulated to show how stupid these people are. And that's what I told you. I've got a neighbour. They're waiting for their fourth. They're waiting for the fourth booster, but they're all sick. And their relatives are sick, and they actually tell you, I've never been that sick. Like, this was scary sick. I woke up in the night, I felt like I was going to die, and you're just waiting for them to put two and two together, and they can't.
They can't.
So this guy perfectly proves it. He's had 3 COVID shots. He's tested positive. And now he's saying, I should have got the fourth to prevent that positive test. So it's just, they're gone. It's a cult of COVID. They're blind. They're blinded. They can't see anymore.
They couldn't see in the first place, and as they get every extra jab, they can't see further. They'll never see further. Like I said, I reckon you'd run a month-long campaign, and they'll just go, no, I don't believe you. You're tricking us. You're trying to trick us. Nothing is here, but we know it's here. I need to get a jab.
I mean, just retarded beyond retarded.
You can see as well, just before you go there, you can see it's so what they're doing, what you're talking about before. You know, you got Palaszczuk trying to scare everybody. They got all these people trying to push for lockdowns and the restrictions to be brought back and the mask wearing to be brought back. And then you've got like this other one I sent you with Dr. Nick Coatsworth saying that,
how funny is that?
You know, this no jab, no work rules have to be all taken apart. This is the guy who pushed it down our throats for 2 years. So now Dr. Nick, he's a former deputy chief health officer. He's coming out saying that this is wrong. Everybody's got to go back to work, whether you're jabbed or not, and no more restrictions. Take it all away. And they're even saying it on morning TV now. Carl Stefanovic saying, leave us alone. I watched that video today. He's saying, leave us alone. Let us do what we want to. Stop telling us what to do. We want to be in charge of our health. You know what I mean? And it was on these TV shows. They're saying all these bedwetters are trying to force the lockdowns and the mask wearing again. And so they're telling you to do it and they're telling you to not. And it's all in the media. So it's, you know what I mean? It's just smoke and mirrors, and it's all designed to keep people in a fear state and confused. You know, they're telling you to, but they're telling you not, and no one's got any clues here. So, you know, it's like a game of forcing back, throwing a tennis ball to someone, and you throw it back. It's not going anywhere.
Adam, so I'm going to go back to Dr. Nick in a second, but it just brought up, for some reason, I decided to put in Picnic, which was the thing that got burnt down in Italy. So I put Picnic into the gematria calculator. It's come up full reduction, 36, three sixes. Oh, man, you can't make this shit up. Now, back to Dr. Nick. Remember the Simpsons had Dr. Nick? Hi, I'm Dr. Nick. And you just wonder whether or not the Simpsons are playing out right around the world, which I believe they are, and that certain things will happen in different countries for what happens, and whether or not Dr. Nick was in reference to, you guys don't realise, I'm referring to Dr. Nick from Australia. Now, keep in mind, Dumb and Dumber has the all hair messed up character, and you've got Boris Johnson with all the similar hair of Dumb and Dumber character. I mean, is this by coincidence?
Yeah, he does remind me of that. Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
And Adam, didn't he resign? I think you sent me this and I haven't verified it, but obviously if you send it to me, it's verified, is that he resigned at 9:11 a.m.
That's right. It's unbelievable.
You can't make this shit up, people. The reflection of 9:11.
Well, it is 9/11.
It is 9/11.
Yeah, incredible. Unbelievable. Then people say he hasn't resigned. There's something funny going on there as well. So,
Boris.
Crazy, isn't it?
Boris has got 36 in his name, and 63 the reflection. Let's go, Johnson. 166, another 66 in there. Like, seriously, like, if you want to do research, research the Kabbalah. It's K-A-B-B-L-A-H from memory, and read their Book of Formation. And in their very first page, it says, God created the world with numbers and letters to create words. Everything is spoken to. And then we've said it so many times on this program, Adam, spells. Every time you speak, you're casting a spell. And you've only got to go to that woman that played, she's in 90210, Beverly Hills 90210, and she went into doing a witch series. and it was all about the spellings.
Yeah, one of those women was named Spelling.
Mm.
I can't remember the blonde one.
Oh no, the dark one was the one that led the witchcraft series.
Yeah, yeah, but I was Tori Spelling.
Oh, Tori! Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and her father's like a big director and stuff. But yeah.
Oh, good pick. There you go, people. Tori Spelling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hang on. Oh, you can't make this shit up. Tori Spelling. Tori.
Yeah. Yeah, just a bimbo that got put in by her father. And you know, and here you go, act. Unbelievable.
That's right. I thought the lead character was the dark-haired one. But, yeah, here's Tori Spelling, T-O-R-I, with blonde hair.
She was in the Beverly Hills 90210
one. Yeah, Donna Martin on Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, and not in the witchcraft one.
Was she not in the witchcraft one?
No, you mean Charmed?
Charmed, yes.
That was another one.
Yeah, was she not in that? Because that was the dark-haired one. Tourist.
Yeah, that was a different one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Hollywood's just pure satanic.
Well, again, people, we said this just out last week. Hollywood is named after the piece of wood, which is holly.
Oh, it's incredible.
Hollywood, because holly is what they use to cast spells.
Yeah, we were covering that with Jay Wilderness. He did a video on Johnny Depp. I mean, just pure satanic. And, you go on to that trial and the Amber Heard one, and there's just the hundreds of thousands of people supporting him like he's just this great guy. He's just that guy, man. He's just so steeped in Satanism. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Why would you support this dark characters, you know, and some believable?
Well, you know, Adam, you know what? We've got the footy on tonight here. Obviously, you and I have with Origin.
Is that on in Brisbane?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're playing it here at home.
Right.
But Adam, you know what? I'm so disengaged. I'm so, like, couldn't care less about all this bush they put into me. I haven't watched an Origin game in full. I reckon I'm going to say 3 years. I don't think I've watched a game of football in 5 years in full. I'll maybe watch it from time to time. But I'm just over all the fact that they're distracting us with all this shit.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what? I've missed some great games, apparently. But at the same time, I look at some of the highlight reels and just go, that guy could have made that tackle. That guy could have done that. Is some of this scripted, as they say, the major leagues over in the States are? And you look at some of the major league stuff and you just go, and how many times the commentators say, oh, yeah, couldn't have scripted that better. And you think, why do you keep saying that?
Yeah, that's right. No, the return of the sports has been really built up on steroids. Was it the first game in Perth? Was that, State of Origin in Perth, like how many pounds, 60,000, how many? I don't know. But, yeah, like after what he did to them, you know, and what Andrews did in Melbourne, and just I've been covering this incredible thing. I like sports as well, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. And it's good for kids to play sports, and it's good to go out there and do it yourself. And I think like movies and that, you've just got to be aware. Once you're aware, you can watch all this content, you know. I watched the Matrix movie, the original one, the other night again, and I picked up on so much more again that's in that film, like ideas, you know. I was like, I didn't get that before. There's so much in that film. It's unbelievable. But, you know, it's okay to watch the content if you're aware of it. If you're not aware, then you're being mind controlled. But the sports this year have been unbelievable, and they have beefed it up so much. And I just found it incredible. 2 years, you know, Daniel Andrews, longest lockdowns in the world, just brutalized the people there, and now throw some sports, bread and circuses. And that's what it is. And it's all forgotten about. And so there's a big one with the Wallabies for the rugby union. They played England the other week. They won the first one. The England won the second, and now this weekend there's a massive decider as well. Same with the Origin. There's a huge decider tonight in Brisbane. How many people are you going to get up there at Suncorp? That'll be sold out, absolutely packed. And everyone watching at home on TV, it's all good, mate. And so, you know, I can't believe people, the general public, are willing to forget so quickly what just happened in the last 2 years just because of a few sporting events thrown at them.
That's it. Well, a few
sports. In the Colosseums.
Yeah, right there. The Colosseums, and also the, you know, the Dancing with the Stars and the Ninja.
It's all back.
Yeah. And I said to Ange, the wife, about the Ninja, because I like athleticism, so I like to see what people can do. But they've made the courses just that hard. The failure rate is so high. It's like, no, I'd rather see the failure rate be so low, but then on times, you know. But no, this is all about making the failure rate so high. Why they want to do that? That's because they want to really, like, see who's the best of the best. Well, okay, whatever. And so we just turned it off and watched other truth shit. Simple as that.
No. I'm like that too.
Hey, Adam, I've got the grandkids at my ankles.
So much to cover, isn't there, mate?
But we're going to do a quick 20 and we're up over 40.
I know. Well, I was going to go into the Coral Princess, the double vaccinated cruise ship of death. Just keep an eye on this one. It's a classic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's another cruise ship and they've locked them all in there because they've all got COVID. And they're all double and triple jabbed and it's in Sydney, boarded again. So this is the same thing. They've gone back.
Yep.
They've gone back to the cruise ship again. It's unbelievable, but I'll send that to you now because there's a ton of numbers in here that I wanted you to break down for the next one This is too funny. You can, because they are making it up.
Adam,
okay, last thing I want to say, because I do have to go, mate, is that remember I said about a year or two ago, I said we really need a competition to make up the dumbest stories that are unbelievable.
That's right.
See if they come true.
I know, but the problem is most of the public believe those dumb hitters. If they can't get enough, anyway.
All right, man. I got to peace out, buddy.
Enjoy, and we'll chat again on the next one.
Will do, mate. Take care.